Good evening. Does it sound like I'm on? You hear it? I was very blessed by the sermon this morning, the activities of the morning. I think of the example of a little child that Christ has asked us to become. Like a little child. I think some of the times when we're, I remember the first time I held Allie. Didn't live here at the time and got to come down and this tiny little thing that looked just like Amy when she was that age. And I just couldn't stop staring at her, just holding her and staring at her. And I do the same thing. With little Sophia, there's something about the innocence, something about the purity in their face that we long for as men. We actually, somewhere deep in our soul, we know that's the best for us, to be innocent, to be clean. I'd like to talk about the armor of God. Seems like this is a season for it. But not saying season like the passing of winter, but season like, it seems like it's the time on the world clock that is so necessary to have God's armor. And I'm not going to just jump into Ephesians, the sixth chapter. There's some things I want you to consider first about our armor. And about whether or not it's actually God's armor, or whether it's the armor of this world, the carnal things that we seek after, that we build up, and we naturally do it. So I'm going to start reading out of the 11th chapter of Luke. I think for brevity, I'm going to start with verse 9. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And I'm so glad in this example that he speaks directly to the Holy Spirit. He points it out in particular. We, because as I speak more about the armor of God, I'm not asking how strong you are. That is not the point. It's about you being his child, you being his servant, you being possessed of this Holy Spirit, his Spirit, so that because of those decisions, because of what you've submitted yourself to, you are the one that he parts the sea for. He does it. And if you haven't become his, does he close the sea for you? That his storehouse of hail, with which he can overthrow any armor, any army, It's His strength. He is the one with the victory. And I want us to consider this as we go into it. Let me go on from where I was. This Holy Spirit is the thing that I think really, when He gives you the Holy Spirit, it starts to help you really start to build up, take on the armor of God, the attributes that He's asked us to have that will shield us and shield us eternally. Verse 14, and He was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass that when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. But some of them said, He casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. And others, tempting Him, sought of Him a sign from heaven. But He, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because he say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub? And if I, by Beelzebub, cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But if I, with the finger of God, cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted, and divideth his spoils. Consider that. What kind of armor am I talking about there? The kind of armor that when a stronger than you comes along and overthrows you, they take away that armor that you trusted in, and they divide your spoils. That's about the strength of men. The things that we build up that are carnal, the things that we trust in that are not of God. And I think of things like our bankroll. How much money do we have? It's certain that when we have enough money, everybody's looking up in the corner. When you have enough money, your life can be easier on certain things. You can, if you live in a bad part of town, you can go ahead and many times you might be able to avoid something like bars on the windows or extra heavy security door. Yeah, there might be things that of this world seem to protect you in having a bigger bankroll. The things that all of us try to find a good job. A good man will try to find a good job to support his family and an honest trade. What else do we seek for? Power? When you're offered a promotion, you actually gain a little power of this world. And I'm not really here to tell you those are all bad things. But I will tell you that in itself, that alone is not building up. That is not about the armor of God. I also think about how important it is that it says that when a stronger than you comes and overthrows you and takes your armor and divides your spoils, it says he takes your armor in which you trusted. This is about where our heart is. It's about where our heart is. So let me go back to where I was reading. I'll start with that same verse, 22nd verse. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted, and divideth his spoils. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. He saith, I will return into my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits, more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. And it came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, Blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the paps which thou hast sucked. But he said, Yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. And I'm going to jump down to verse 33 and read on. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body, therefore, be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light. And when the bright shining of a candle, as when the bright shining of a candle does give thee light. And I think about what, that we are supposed to be about God's light. It says that in the St. John, the first five verses, it talks about that God is light and life. That's what we're supposed to be living in. That's what we're supposed to be taking to the world, shining in everything we do, whether it be our job, whether it be in our family, whether it be in the way we drive, whatever we do. It should be in such a way that light shows and that it's evident that it's God's light. I think about this example also in the fact that this really isn't a blended thing. There's two different sides, at least. And the devil has no part with the Lord, and the Lord has no part with the devil. We cannot try to hang on to both. What was it Jose asked this morning? Who do you work for? Who do you work for? Let's go over to 2 Corinthians. And this is the sixth chapter of 2 Corinthians. I forgot to tell you, Stephen, when he contacted me Friday night to ask me if I would come and take his place, he said to say hi to you all. He actually said to tell you that I'm Stephen, but he's better than me. I'm not Stephen. But I'm happy to help him out here. So chapter 6, second chapter of Corinthians. I think I'm going to actually start with the first verse on this one. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses. And I'm going to go on here, but I don't want you to trip over something I just read. It's this third verse. It says, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. I think sometimes we hear minister or ministry or even servant, and we click it right off. That's not for me. I'm not a minister. I'm not one of God's elders. I'm not a priest. But let me guarantee you, this is for you. This is for you to hear. This is for you to consider. This is gonna. It's talking about the world we live in. And everybody who is accepted God's Holy Spirit, everyone who has made the choice and entered in by repentance and baptism is his servant. And as it says, this is in the 14th chapter of Nephi, second Nephi. And now behold, my beloved brethren, this is on page 163 if you want to follow. Chapter 14 of 2 Nephi. And now behold, my beloved brethren, I suppose that ye ponder somewhat in your hearts concerning that which ye should do after that ye have entered in by the way. But behold, why do you ponder these things in your hearts? Do you not remember that I said unto you that after ye have received the Holy Ghost, you could speak with the tongue of angels? And now how could ye speak with the tongue of angels, save it were by the Holy Ghost? Angels speak by the power of the Holy Ghost, wherefore they speak the words of Christ. And as I read about this, up in a couple of verses before I started reading, verse 31 and 32, says, and now behold, my beloved brethren, this is the way, and there is none other way nor name given under heaven, whereby man can be saved in the kingdom of God. And now behold, this is the doctrine of Christ, and the only and true doctrine of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, which is one God, without end. Amen. And there's not one place there that I read to you that this is just for the ministry, this service of God. So what we're reading down here is what we're supposed to be doing once we're baptized. The kind of example we're supposed to be, the kind of light we're supposed to show. We're supposed to be able to speak with the tongue of angels because we speak with the power of the Holy Ghost. We speak the words of Christ. Wherefore I say unto you, feast upon the words of Christ, for behold, the words of Christ will tell you all things what ye should do. Wherefore now, after that I have spoken these words, if ye cannot understand them, it will be because ye ask not, neither do ye knock. Wherefore ye are not brought into the light, but must perish in the dark. For behold, again I say unto you, that if ye will enter in by the way and receive the Holy Ghost, it will shew unto you all things that ye should do. And I think about our kids, many of them sitting here, growing up, and it's a very different time right now. I'm hoping and looking forward to that things are going to return more like it's been in our past. It's funny how that looks like the good old days right now. You graduate from high school, and some of you might find a good job. A lot of people do what to prepare for a good job? What do they do? Pardon? College. And what did they do before college? They graduated high school. They prepare. There was words that they feasted upon. We have to engage in our education. We have to engage and make choices about what we fill ourselves with. Prepare ourselves for the future. Prepare ourselves for service. And so as we continue to think about the Word of God, as we continue to think about the armor of God, there's preparation involved. There's preparation involved. What did you have to do before you began to feast on the words of God? This may go over your heads because I'm asking such an elementary question. You learn to read. You learn to read. My parents, back before I could read, did me some favors in that they... We would have something we called reading at night, and they would sit and they would read through the scriptures and we would listen. I actually remember because it's the way I like to read. I like to look at the pictures and try to figure out what the story was. And I can remember asking my dad if there was pictures. And he said, well, you know, not on this part. There wasn't a picture to look at. But we have to educate ourselves. We have to literally engage in that process. Prepare. Arm ourselves. We put the armor on. We put the armor on. So, giving no offense in anything, I'm back on the third verse, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves, and I'm talking to all of you, in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true. And it sounds funny to think that we're supposed to work through and that there's this possibility that it might be involving also dishonor. But I would say a couple different sides of that. People talk. They strive to find fault with you. And if they can find fault with Jesus Christ, if the people of this earth can find fault with Jesus Christ enough to put him to death, I guarantee you they can find fault in me. So yes, people are looking to try to dishonor you. People are working against you, especially those who are a follower of the devil. But we need to work through it. I can remember... Of course, I'm getting old, so I've had a lot of things happen. I can remember going into a home with the best intent and being handled very roughly. And before, it was almost before I knew it, I was yelling back. And I left and I was so disappointed. So disappointed because I'd really somehow failed to be the right kind of example. I had failed to handle it like I should have been able to. Not that I could think of a better way, but I do honestly feel like in that effort, I kind of failed. And I think that that's part of the process also. We have to go ahead and work at it. We can't fall off that horse, and so we're not going to get back on. When we fail, we got to repent and try to do better. Get back up. Climb on that horse and begin to ride again. Do everything you can and take the learning that's provided you even when you fail. Verse 8, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, by dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. O ye Corinthians, and okay, you wear Corinthians tonight too. It's talking to the people. Be the people. you Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you. Our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. And I think of that, you know, it's because of the differences in how we express ourselves today being different than here. You might hear that and kind of grin, but it means from the inward parts, from the depths of what's inside of you, you recognize truth. And it's a work that God does between He and you. And God is the one that works deep inside of you to bring about a change and bring you along. You're not actually straightened by someone else. They try, they bring you God's word, and in the end, the result, the growth, is of God, and we thank Him. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers? For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. I think about this difference that we have to be clear about, that we abide in the Lord and that His Spirit abide in us. And when that's not the way it is very different. Evil and good don't really bump up against each other. They're separates. They're vastly different. What's hard for us is because of our carnal nature. Because of a mist of darkness that Nephi saw that rose up upon that straight and narrow path. The people couldn't see unless they had, you know, I'm saying it wrong. The people couldn't see. They had to have a hold of the rod of iron to take them through that darkness, that mist of darkness. It's not because when they grabbed the rod, they could see. It's because they grabbed on to the Word of God and they would not accept anything different. They couldn't turn around now. You know, I touched it, home free, tag, you know, I'm safe now. No. We have to hang on and continue to hang on that we stay in that straight and that narrow path. Let me go ahead and go now to Ephesians, where we've been kind of headed during this whole sermon. I want to read about that armor of God. And keep in the back of your mind that other picture, the carnal armor, the armor that another strong person can actually come along and overthrow you and take away all that armor that you trusted in and divide your spoils or take everything you have, all your riches, everything that you valued, everything you trusted in can be taken away. Keep that in the back of your mind too while we go to Ephesians. And I get to gabbing and I don't get to Ephesians. Here it is. Since we've been talking about the growth, about the journey to this, I will go ahead and start with the first verse because it's going to start the same way. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Remember, we talked that there's preparation in this. Truth. Truth is in the Word of God, and we need to know it. It needs to be graven upon the fleshy tables of our heart. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and with supplication for all saints. Now, let me back up to consider this other thing. if your loins are girt about with truth. Is there really any power in any man that can take away truth from you if you know the truth? He can't overthrow you and take away that piece of armor. Breastplate of righteousness. A stronger than you doesn't have the power to take away your righteousness. That is something you can depart from yourself, but it can't be taken away by another man, by another power. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. But I like dwelling on this one a little bit, because sometimes I think I'm going to read and study. I'm going to know the truth. I got these books under my belt, and I am going to beat all the sinners into submission. You know, and it's somehow in our mind, we take back a carnal approach and forget about these feet that are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. It tells us that we are supposed to seek to be at peace with all men. We're supposed to try. That doesn't mean we will succeed with everyone, but we're supposed to try. That's our intent. In the 58th chapter of Isaiah, it talks about the restorer of paths to dwell in. It talks about the one who tries to make peace among the brethren. It's a good thing. It's part of this. And above all things, taking the shield of faith, wherein ye may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And those fiery darts are the things we just read about in 2 Corinthians. All the criticism, the honor, the dishonor, all these things that is going to be, they'll be shot at you when you're trying to do the right thing. And we need to, in the strength of the Lord, He is up to it. He has that strength. That's a sea He will part for you. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then I feel like this is so important because it wraps, it's part of it, that's it's like an umbrella that's over all of this armor of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We have to pray because we're handing this new man in submission over to God, and He's the one. He's the power. He's the truth. He's salvation. He's the Word. He's all of this. It's His armor. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So we made it to Ephesians, and I want to leave you with a little something else too. I'm going to turn over to the 7th chapter of Moroni. And as I prepare to read here, I think there's almost a link. Ephesians 6, let's read verse 23 and 24. It's his greeting, or not greeting, but his ending of this message that he's delivering. He says, "Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. And I think about the character of this armor of God and how that also describes it. That when we enter in as a good example for people, that we be full of grace, God's grace, in a way that's apparent, in a way that speaks, I don't mean about volume, but somehow it speaks very largely of the love within you. It speaks very largely of the love that's in God and the faith. This grace is merciful. This has to be in us to shine. It's part of that light that we keep on a candle and not hide in a secret place. So 7th chapter of Moroni, 2nd verse. And now I, Moroni, speak unto you, my beloved brethren, and it is by the grace of God, the Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ, and His holy will, because of the gift of His calling unto me, that I am permitted to speak unto you at this time. Wherefore, I would speak unto you that are of the church, that are the peaceable followers of Christ, that have obtained a sufficient hope by which ye can enter into the rest of the Lord. From this time henceforth, until ye shall rest with Him in heaven. And that, in a few short words, that's the battle. When we think about this armor, what's it protecting us against? What is it keeping us safe from? Wherefore I speak unto you that are of the church, that are the peaceful followers of Christ, that have obtained a sufficient hope by which ye can enter into the rest of the Lord. In the end, that's the goal. From this time henceforth, until ye shall rest with Him in heaven. I think about, of course, I feel sorrow for my cousin, for Carrie. Carrie Hedrick. She's my first cousin. She's her mom and my mom are sisters. And I feel bad for Carrie, and I feel bad for her Noah and Curtis and the whole family. But you know, do you ever think about the peace that we say when people have birthdays? We speak about it every time. Many happy returns of the day of thy birth. May sunshine and gladness be given. And may the dear Savior prepare thee on earth for a beautiful birthday in heaven. And that's where that's what's in store for John. That's what we pray for. That's what we hope for. A beautiful birthday in heaven. To be able to enter into that rest until one day when we rest with Him in heaven. And now, my brethren, I judge these things of you because of your peaceable walk with the children of men. For I remember the word of God, which saith, by their works ye shall know them. For if their works be good, then they are good also. For behold, God hath said, a man being evil cannot do that which is good. For if he offereth a gift or prayeth unto God, except he shall do it with real intent, it profiteth him nothing. For behold, it is not counted for him for righteousness. For behold, if a man being evil giveth a gift, he doeth it grudgingly. Wherefore, it is counted unto him the same as if he had retained the gift. Wherefore, he is counted evil before God. And likewise also is it counted evil unto a man if he shall pray and not with real intent of heart. Yea, and it profiteth him nothing. For God receiveth none such. Wherefore a man being evil cannot do that which is good, neither will he give a good gift. For behold, a bitter fountain cannot bring forth good water, neither can a good fountain bring forth bitter water. Wherefore, a man being a servant of the devil cannot follow Christ. And if he follow Christ, he cannot be a servant of the devil. Wherefore, all things which are good cometh of God, and that which is evil cometh of the devil. For the devil is an enemy unto God, and fighteth against him continually, and inviteth and enticeth to sin and to do that which is evil continually. But behold, that which is of God inviteth and enticeth to do good continually. Wherefore, everything which inviteth and enticeth to do good and to love God and to serve him is inspired of God. And I think about this, that consideration when you make decisions, is this inviting and enticing me to do good and to believe in God and to serve him? Or is it actually inviting and enticing me to do evil? It's part of what it's talking about when it says that we don't make you straight. It comes from deep inside of you. You have to take these things and consider them. You think about, is this inviting and enticing me to good? Verse 12, wherefore, take heed, my beloved brethren, that you do not judge that which is evil and to be of God, or that which is good and of God to be of the devil. For behold, my brethren, it is given unto you to judge, that ye may know good from evil. And the way to judge is as plain that ye may know with a perfect knowledge as the daylight is from the dark night. For behold, the Spirit of Christ is given to every man that they may know good from evil. Wherefore, I shew unto you the way to judge. For everything which inviteth to do good and to persuade to believe in Christ is sent forth by the power and gift of Christ. And I think about the importance of understanding that these things that invite to do good are sent by the power and gift of Christ. It's exactly what was being said in that third verse of the 23rd Psalm. It said, he leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That's what that is. That's what he does for us. Wherefore ye may know with a perfect knowledge is of God, but whatsoever thing persuadeth men to do evil and believe not in Christ and deny him and serve not God, then ye may know with a perfect knowledge it is of the devil. And after this manner doth the devil work, for he persuadeth no man to do good, no, not one, neither doth his angels, neither do they which subject themselves unto him. And that means also that if you have a friend, and that friend has subjected himself unto the devil, that he will invite and entice you to do evil. That's why he says, get away from there. Get away. Because of the hour growing late, I want to jump over and finish off what I believe is very important consideration in this armor of God too. Let me jump over. I'm going to start with verse 26 of this chapter 7. And assuredly as Christ liveth, he spake these words unto our fathers, saying, whatsoever thing ye shall ask the Father in my name, which is good, in faith believing that ye shall receive, behold, it shall be done unto you. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, hath miracles ceased, because that Christ ascended into heaven, and hath sat down on the right hand of God to claim of the Father his right of mercy, which he hath upon the children of men. For he hath answered the ends of the law, and he claimeth all those that have faith in him, and they have faith in him, will cleave unto every good thing. Wherefore he advocateth the cause of the children of men. He dwelleth eternally in the heavens, and because that he hath done this, my beloved brethren, have miracles ceased. Behold, I say unto you, nay, neither hath angels ceased to minister unto the children of men. For behold, they are subject unto him to minister according to the words of his command, showing themselves unto them of a strong faith and a firm mind in every form of godliness. And the office of their ministry is to call man into repentance and to fulfill and to do the work of the covenants of the Father. And he hath made unto the children of men to prepare the way among the children of men by declaring the word of Christ unto the chosen vessels of the Lord, that they may bear testimony of him. I think often we think of the armor of God and we think about being completely alone, except for the power that he's given to be with us, the things that he's given to guide us, and the power of his Holy Spirit. But it, let me assure you, it goes beyond that. When you go on with this firm mind that is created by the Holy Spirit, this firm mind that is created because you're armed with the armor of God, the angels themselves can come to your rescue. And miracles have not ceased. Choose your armor carefully. The armor of God, no man can take away. And though we suffer, even unto death, the victory will still be eternal. Pray for me and I'll pray for you.